We're going to be talking with Dan Adcock. He's probably, not in age, but in service, probably the dean of the Washington lobbyists as far as people who represent feds and retirees and postal workers. And Dan's going to be talking about what's left on the Senate agenda, which is quite a bit. You know, as you pointed out, the TSP changes, if nothing else happened, that would make this the best year federal workers have had on Capitol Hill in decades.
Yeah.
But there's still more cooking, and it could even happen this week. The Senate is looking at the defense authorization bill. The House has passed it, and the bill contains a number of goodies that were stripped from the tobacco bill, the one that authorized the TSP things.
Right.
So they're going to have a second bite at the apple.
They're going to try another take of these and see what they can see whether they can get these passed?
Exactly, and they probably got a shot at getting at least one thing through. The administration objected to all of these on cost grounds, and that's, you know, that's what administrations do.
But there's a lot of costs going through right now.
One of the things that I think many people are looking at is a cure for the FERS flu, and this is the Federal Employees Retirement System, the fact that they have a use-it-or-lose-it sick leave system. So there's an incentive for many of them to say, the last year of service, they say, you know what, I'm going to take a lot of long weekends. I'm going to be sick every Friday and Monday. It disrupts the workflow in the office. It angers colleagues. Some people think it's just downright immoral to do that. Don't take sick leave if you're not sick. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is the Congress has, in the past has said, if we let them do this, because we let the people under the old civil service retirement mm-hmm. system do it, if we let the FERS people do it, it could save, I think they estimate, $69 million a year in disruptive costs and fill-ins and replacements. So that's one of the things the Senate is going to be looking at in this defense authorization.
And it's important, you were talking about costs, but the FERS flu also has a cost in terms of, because you have to bring people in to
exactly.
cover these jobs and all those kinds of things. So there is a cost there,
right.
maybe a little softer.
Right, and we've heard, it's funny, the unions approach it from one respect, that is an equity thing, to make both the retirement systems the same as far as sick leave is concerned. The management groups look at it from the viewpoint you just stated. That is, it's disruptive, it's wrong, we have to reschedule people. We know it's going to happen, and it can even cause disciplinary problems, because if you think somebody is taking sick leave and that they're not sick, you are, by government rules, supposed to do something about it, force them to document it with a doctor's letter or something like that. But it can be a real problem in the last year of service. So this is one of the things they're going to look at. The other thing they're trying to get is it would allow people who were under the old FERS system, who left government, not retired, but maybe just left government for whatever reason, when they come back, they start fresh. They don't have – none of that service time counts. And this would allow them to buy back their service time. And if you could come back in the government and buy back 6 years of time, you know, that would make you be able to retire that much sooner, and obviously with a larger annuity.
And again, from a management perspective, a lot of people saying, hey, this would really help because there are holes, gaps in skills that a lot of agencies need, and a lot of these retirees might be able to sort of fill those skills.
That's exactly right. Ever since 9/11, the emphasis has been on getting experienced people, people who you know at one point or other passed a security screening.
Right people
secret.
At the right time in the right place.
People who can track money laundering, people who can track organized crime, terrorism, people who are proficient in foreign languages. So there are a lot of former feds out there, both retired and just people who left the government, who are needed back in government. And the other thing is, this is not all altruistic. A lot of them are looking at the health insurance thing down the road. And I know several people recently who have rejoined the government because they want to be able to qualify for lifetime health insurance. So, again, you could call this a win-win, but the bean counters do see it as a cost, and it would be an added cost to the retirement system.
Is there any sense as to that? I mean, I know the defense authorization bill is moving its way through.
No, that's what I hope to get from Dan Adcock tomorrow. Now, he's paid to be optimistic.
Yeah.
You know, he and other lobbyists.
Well, and he's one of the, I mean, he's been watching this stuff for a long time.
Yeah, he's been watching a long time. And I think he's going to give us, he's going to explain what's going on, what's in it for you, what's in it for me kind of thing, and then give an assessment of the chances of it. And one of the things that several union people have told me off the record, nobody will say it for print,
right,
but I have used it, is the fact that the Obama administration opposed a number of these provisions in the tobacco bill, and that's why they were pulled, and that's why the Senate and the House didn't go to conference. So presumably they'll oppose them again, but there may be more strength this time to maybe get one or two things through. So I hope Dan sort of opened the doors to us as far as they can be opened.